First and foremost, we desire and we are longing to be reunited with the full body of Christ that He's united here at Valley View Baptist. So though we can't be with everyone, we're longing, we're praying for you. And I just want to remind everyone, Sister Maxine recently had a birthday. So she's a dear encouragement to this whole church body. So we're going to ask you to please be in prayer for Maxine. And for those who can't be here, for those who are battling different ailments and have a desire to communicate with the church, or have a desire to maybe send any gift offering, tithes, or offering, I'm going to go ahead and give you our mailing address, and it's a P.O. Box, and that's going to be P.O. Box 1411, of course, in Kernersville, North Carolina, 27284, and that's P.O. Box 1411. So anything you were to mail out there, we just ask that it's obviously accompanied with your name and what exactly it's for. And we're just moving forward for our Lord Jesus Christ here at Valley View. As of now, we all know the current trend on our headlines of COVID-19 or the coronavirus. There's a lot of mixed feelings, especially amongst different churches. What's going on is a reality. It is real. But at the same time, there is some disinformation out there, I personally believe. There's approximately 50,000 Americans that have been affected by this. We just mentioned some local churches that we know in the communities are affected by this. Lives have been taken. So this is something significant. It is considerate. But this surely isn't something that's bigger than our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the very beginning of this, when different states put out stay-at-home orders, there were some groups of believers or some churches that kind of stood out in front and said, well, we're not going to listen to that. But they did so, I feel, some of them, not all of them, with a prideful or rebellious spirit. And I don't think that's what the Lord wants us to do. I don't think we find ourselves in a situation where the state or the government is specifically going after churches and telling them not to operate or worship their Lord Jesus Christ. There is something real out there. There is something that's affecting families and communities all around the world. Now, brothers and sisters, in that light, there may come a time in our lives where we'll have to make a decision. Are we going to obey the state? Or are we going to obey God? I don't think we're necessarily there regarding COVID-19. I think we need to walk a balance. We need to be wise in everything we do. And first and foremost, we need to seek our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stay close to Him. And this morning, that's the motivation in this message, is staying close to our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to invite you, please, to open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus, and we'll be in chapter 17. And our emphasis for this morning is going to be Exodus 17, and it's going to be verses 8 through 16. So the title for this morning's sermon is The Family of God. The Family of God in Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse number 8. I'll go ahead and read the sermon text this morning. Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the mountain. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady into the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for the inspired Word of God, the Word that instructs us, enables us, equips us, encourages us, the Word that's self-sustaining, self-sufficient. It provides exactly what we need right now. So, Lord, we're just praying for all the hearers of the Word, Lord, that it may do exactly as it's gone forth intended to do. To convict sinners that are lost and undone, to encourage those who have received your grace to continue to press forward. Lord, it's perilous times like this. Sometimes we don't know if we should turn to the left side or the right side. So, Lord, we just ask that your word may illuminate the side you want us to be on, the correct path, the narrow way, Lord, that leads us close to you. Dear Lord, we pray for all the communities in this great nation, in America and around the world, that's been affected by this virus, Lord. And we also pray for the nations around the world that's been affected by the virus of blindness, spiritual blindness. So, Lord, we just have a great desire for you to intervene in our midst, Lord. We just ask for you to take glory for yourself, Lord. May your name be great in this church and around the world. Lord, we pray for those who've lost loved ones. We pray for those who've lost jobs, who have difficult situations in their families now, Lord, because of these uncertain times. Lord, we have a great need for you. We just have a great need just to get really close to you and receive your direction. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We praise you and we exalt you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, again, the title for this morning's sermon is The Family of God. And I'm sure we're all familiar with this scripture. I know I've heard quite a few different sermons on this scripture here. Now, the sermon that's going to be laid before the hearers this morning is going to be quite different than what you're used to hearing when it comes to this particular text. This text usually, for many of those who preach it, is one that just represents Moses or having individuals come around the quote-unquote man of God so the man of God could do the calling that God had given him. But I think here in Exodus chapter 17, we have more than one individual. We have the family of God. Hallelujah. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, no matter where you're at, if you're in Indonesia, if you're in China, if you're in America, if you're in Kernersville, if you've been bought by the blood of your Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of something that is called the family of God. Amen. The family of God. And this morning is going to serve as an opportunity of remembrance regarding who you identify with. Brothers and sisters, we are parts of the family of God. And in light of the introduction this morning, I just want us to remember that there is absolutely no denying the significance or the importance of a family. It's absolutely foundational. It is the bedrock of American society. Societies around the world, families are integral, are absolutely irreplaceable, are essential. It's the very beginning and origin from life as we know it. Now, I want to just put a little side note here first when I'm referring to family. I'm sorry if I'm hurting your feelings. I'm sorry if you disagree with me. I'm referring to a biblical family. I'm referring to a biblical world perspective. So family is a husband, a male, and a female that's been united in a covenant relationship under the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord enables them to procreate and produce offspring and bring that offspring, the children, up in the fear and admonition in the Lord. And one day, if the Lord blesses you one day, to have grandchildren. But the family, it's absolutely essential. It's something we could all relate to. Some positive aspects, some negative. But from a biblical perspective, the family is absolutely foundational. It's a place where we have an opportunity to share memories. We grow together. We instill important values. pass on information. We experience hardships. We celebrate triumphs one with another. And the families in our community all bear individual markings. They're represented usually, and we look at families and they're represented by a name. Many times it's the last name. And it almost acts as the cloak or their banner that represents that unique group of people. I'm sure we've all heard it, you know, depending on your last name. Maybe you was younger acting a fool and your old grandfather had to grab you by your ear and say, get over here, boy. Don't you know you're a Philip? Don't you know you're a Funk? You're a Nelson? You better start act like it. For there is generations of Nelsons or Funks or Phillips or Nailers that are being represented based upon your character and your behavior. So that last name acts as a banner, as a cloak, as this ongoing sphere of representation of a group of people. And here in our scriptures in chapter 17, we also have something that's called the family of God. Brothers and sisters, if you've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you also fall under this heading, this name, this banner, and that's called the family of God. Now we know, and hopefully you've been able to experience this in your earthly relationships in a family. Some haven't. But generally speaking, you know, families, especially the family of God, we're supposed to stick together. And many times growing up, and this is what this is going to provide this morning, depending on the season of that family and what was going on in their lives, I could remember some of them vividly. Some of them were pretty. Some of them were very happy. You might have a mom or a dad round everyone up in that family. It could even been a younger one, a child. But there were points in times where someone had to round everyone up. They had to go grab them, they had to go encourage them, and they had to say, stop, now is the time. We need to have a quote-unquote family meeting. A good old-fashioned family powwow. There always comes a point in time in your life or a group or a church or an individual who's coming together to accomplish a task where you have a good old-fashioned powwow, a family meeting. So this morning, the opportunity in these scriptures is we're going to kind of look at God's Word, gathering together as the family of God, and we're going to have that family meeting. We're going to look at the divine Word of God to see what He has for us individually and how He's called us to be a family that sticks together. So we're going to go ahead and move forward here in the scriptures by God's grace. So we should all identify with the family of God that, you know, it sticks together. We're going to look at the scriptures here, and we're going to come to see that there were several different individuals that were involved in a battle. A nation of people. But yet their battles were collective. They were all connected. And everyone who participated in this battle had a crucial responsibility. And the victorious victory that was handed down to the Israelites was not merely because one person that was seen that had his hand up. It was because of every individual that was part of the family of God stayed united, regardless if they had an opportunity to be serving or fighting side by side. So the nation of Israel here, and we could probably identify with it, they found themselves in a battle that they never asked for. Let's go ahead and look here in the beginning of our sermon text. It says this in 17:8. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, this is verse number 9, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hands. So they find themselves in a position where this battle, this confrontation, this war just lays itself upon their door. They're going about their business. They're going through the wilderness of sin, looking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They're dealing with their own internal problems. And lo and behold, this nomadic group of people, the Amalekites, end up attacking the Israelites. And I want you to see here, and I'm going to read some scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verses 17 and 18, to give you some insights in the foe that the Israelites were battling. So again, according to the scriptures, that the nation of Israel was attacked by Amalek, and then they were instructed to go participate and engage in the battle. So in Deuteronomy chapter 25, 17, 18, this is what the inspired word of God says. It says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, he smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary, and he feared not God." Brothers and sisters, that gives a great insight into this enemy that was attacking this nation of Israel when it least expected it. This was an enemy that was very calculated. The Amalekites was a nomadic tribe, a nation, somewhat powerful, many flocks and herds. Many believe the descendants of Esau. And they were very calculated in their destruction and hatred for the people of God. And they were very tactful in the way they chose to attack the nation of Israel. According to Deuteronomy chapter 5, they strategized. And this large nation, this large group of people that God's responsible for and accountable for, had some of those that were elderly, some of those that had physical ailments, maybe some of the children, that were traveling in the back of the line, the back of the group, just based upon the fact of how fast they could travel. And this wicked group of people, they had no fear of God according to the scriptures. And they exploited the nation of Israel, and it said they smote their hindmost of thee, even all those who were the weakest, the feeblest, the lowly hearted. So there were those who were desiring and commanded. They were maybe up towards the front of this large nation, leading them to follow the Lord wherever the Lord granted them to go. And this wicked group of people went to attack the nation of Israel at their most vulnerable, weakest place. This is a pretty significant battle. Now, I want us to give special note here regarding the nation of Israel. The family of God and the battle that's being portrayed here is they didn't ask for this battle. This battle found itself on their doorstep. Brothers and sisters, family of God, our life is merely battles and triumphs, shortcomings and victories, day after day after day after day. I want to tell you something. There are Americans, lost and saved, that found themselves in the battle of their life as we speak. They didn't desire. Because of what's going on right now, regardless of spiritual malady, COVID-19, a blindness of a nation, there are Americans, there are families that are now jobless. There are real deaths that are represented in the United States of America. There are people that don't know God and are dying and going to hell. And do you know what grieves my heart about this nasty, dark COVID-19 is that there are those in the hospital that are dying, completely isolated. We are part of a large family. The deaths that we could relate to, most of them are ones at the very least you're able to get around that loved one, hold their hand, grab their neck, give some comfort. Brothers and sisters, I cannot relate to this, but I just ask that the Lord Jesus break my heart and give me some spiritual insight so I could see a small window of this. Of a dear brother that you don't know, he's part of the family of God, a sister that's part of the family of God. We already spoke about, we know some local churches that it's really ravishing right now. They end up testing positive for this. They are isolated and shut in a medical facility. Any contact they receive, human, from a doctor, they are dressed in a full cloak, hazmat suits. They can't even fully see this individual's identity. Their face, for the most part, is covered up. Any communication they're receiving with another human being is muffled by the face mask they're wearing. Everything they've done before that is scrutinized. Where did you go? Who did you see? If they don't get better and are allowed to be released from that facility, and that disease grabs a hold of them and brings them before eternity, they cannot have the comfort of a dear brother or sister putting their arms around them. They die in utter isolation. This thing is real. If you find yourself there, if you find yourself in that dark place, if you find yourself in a battle and you're saved, a battle that you didn't ask for, a battle for the hearts and minds of your children because social media has crept in the house, a battle for salvation for your neighbor. See, Israel didn't ask for this battle. This battle found them. But this battle was divinely instituted. This battle was predetermined. This battle was nothing that surprised the Lord Jesus Christ. And our goal and our motivation is to understand us as the family of God. The battle, the uncharted territory we're in now, the only way that we have to be victorious, to rise above, is to take the same prescribed instructions that are found here in chapter 17 that the Israelites also needed to do to be successful in the battle that was found on their doorstep. So, and move forward here in Exodus 17, in verse 9 it said, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the mountain, top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So we see here this nation of Israel, a large group of people. And here the text speaks about a few individuals. The family of God is represented here. Moses here gives some specific instructions to Joshua. We have an individual here. We have the nation of Israel as well, too. So we have several different moving parts. And the word of God is transmitted in a supernatural way and gives Moses some divine instructions. which he there passes among. And according to the scriptures, it says 11, in verse 11, when he held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Right there in verse 11, it should tell us, or it should draw some type of question mark regarding what type of battle this was. This was a supernatural battle. This wasn't merely a battle that involved symbolic gestures from a weak, fallible man merely holding up his hand that granted a whole nation victory. This was a battle that the Lord Jesus was using to form, to solidify, to strengthen his family, to enable them, to refine them, to equip them for the next season of their lives. See, in this battle, there were several different pieces and there were several different parts. There was Moses and there was Joshua, there was Ur, there was the nation of Israel. So Moses was commanded to go to the high place, to take the staff or to the rod. Now remember, looking back in the book of Exodus, it was that very staff and the rod where the nation of Israel resembled their deliverance. God gave that to Moses, and that was a tool that God given to him, and he used it to rain down the plagues in the nation of Egypt. It resembled deliverance and salvation for that people by splitting the Red Sea. So we find here, now jumping all the way to the end of our text here, it says in 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. What that means there is the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my covering. So back up into the beginning of 17, when he was instructing Moses to stand upon the hill and to raise the rod in the air, what he was instructing Moses to do was to lift the banner of Jehovah Nissi over that group or that congregation of people, to let all of them know that this battle is the Lord's. Look upon the Lord. Trust upon the Lord. Know that you'll be delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, no matter the battle we find ourselves in, it is the Lord Jesus Christ's battle. See, even here in the scriptures, and I think it's very indicative, Moses himself couldn't deliver the people. Yes, the challenge was absolutely physically impossible. No man could sustain extending one of their extremities for a very long period of time. Though Moses had a great desire to do so, the scripture makes clear here, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Moses knew that. There was a point in time in verse 12, Moses' hands got heavy. There was a time where the greatest of greatest, according to men, got weary, couldn't do it, was unable to prevail. And the only way he was able to prevail was from the encouragement of the family of God. So the individuals that came around him were just as, or if not more important, than what Moses was doing. And if Moses somehow was supernaturally sustained by those around him to continue to hold up that rod, that banner of our motivation of fighting, it was like that last name that I spoke about in the family of God, how that last name represents that group of people. It was the rod pointing up to God. Yes, Moses interceding on behalf of the battle and the family of God. But it was their very identity. Just like in the great wars that we read of, or those who experienced, they would be accompanied with the American flag. and they would stake it in the ground. And everything they did, every breath they took was represented by the stars and stripes. The motivation for why they fought was found in that American flag. That the banner that was placed over this family of God, that everything they did was found in their representation with their Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, they had to be absolutely, essentially connected one with another. See, everybody on the top of the hill could have been doing what they're supposed to be doing. Moses, the rod, they could have been interceding. Those placed on his left and right could have been upholding the hands. But if Joshua, if the nation of Israel wasn't down there participating in the battle in the way that pleased the Lord, it didn't matter. If the women, wherever the women were called to serve, the children, it didn't matter. For them to be able to experience their Lord Jesus Christ, the great reward in coming through this battle as the family of God, and for me and you at Valley View Baptist Church in this season in 2020, our great reward for coming through this battle in this season is we'll be able to experience and come to a greater revelation of who our God is. That was their great reward. They revealed, or they had a chance to experience Jehovah, their God, in a unique way. As Jehovah Nessi, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, your banner, the Lord, your motivation, the Lord, the very reason why you do absolutely everything that you're required to do. And in 17:12, it says again, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady into the going down of the sun. Notice here that our flesh and even Moses, he did absolutely everything that he could to try to do what God commanded him to do. Notice here in the verse in 17:12, it says his hands were heavy. So him holding up that rod or that staff, doing exactly as God instructed, he was probably going from hand to hand. He was probably super cycle analyzing himself mentally. He was probably thinking all kinds of props and ways he could sustain this for the benefit of the people. But at one point in time, he came to the realities of how weak the flesh is. And brothers and sisters, I don't know all the details about the battle at your doorstep, the battle in your mind. I don't know about the hardships that families are going on in this community individually because they lost their job. Because, you know, they got some medical conditions with their wife or their children. They can't receive the care because they're not considered essential. I don't care. You could take these 50,000 Americans that died supposedly from the COVID-19. You could stamp any reason of death you want on there. The fact of the matter is life is precious, and they died, and people are affected. But the flesh is weak. We have to be dependent on the family of God. Everyone associated here at Valley View Baptist Church, young or old, I don't care where you're at in your Christian walk, you are part of the family of God. You are needed. At times when we cannot gather one with another, when one is on top of the hill and the other's out there on the battlefield, you are required, and it's essential for you to be interceding on behalf of those who are partaking in the battle. And at points and times in our seasons, our roles will change, but our identity never does. We are part of the family of God. You are so immensely important. valuable. And no matter what your battle is, you are not called to walk it alone. That banner represented over that nation the understanding that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That even the greatest of leaders, Moses, the flesh is weak. He can't do it. Great. He can't do it. But a group of people, a nation, a small local church, understanding we're family, we move forward under the banner that we've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. That your struggles are now my struggles. That if you fall, I fall. That if you're grieving, I'm grieving. That if you're sick, it's as if I'm bearing the burden of that sickness. That if your joints are hurting, it's as if I'm bearing that grief on your behalf. That if somehow, out of your control, you find yourself in utter isolation, you're in that hospital. You've been labeled positive with COVID-19. And you can't have visitors. But you're part of the family of God. You're looking out the windows and going, I'm going to see my family through a window. My family's praying for me. My family's with me. My God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I've got a family. I'm part of the family of God. And that, brothers and sisters, is eternal. We can't forget this. The experiences we're having now, they're almost normal to some churches around the world, underground churches. Pandemics and pestilence is some things early Christians had to deal with all the time. They knew how to function and operate. We may not know how to, but we know a God who does. When push comes to shove, brothers and sisters, those who are united by the blood of Jesus Christ, we could depend on one another. Right now, our battle, right now, our banner is the family of God. Our marching orders never change. It's the Great Commission. It's using the tools God has given us. Maybe there are a few. I don't know. Maybe it's penning a letter to advance the gospel. Maybe it's using media, radio, television to advance the... It's the same. Never's changed. Never will. What's our call? Have we forgotten? It's the advancement of the gospel. It's taking care of our family and the family of God. That'll be it for this message. I'll go ahead and close off in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for this reminder of the family of God. Lord, we pray for those that are hurting. We pray for those who are they're succumbing. They're being overwhelmed in their battle. They feel alone and isolated. And Lord, maybe they're feeling like that because we've dropped the ball somewhere. Lord, forgive us for our shortcomings. Lord, forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for our indifference. Forgive us for our cold hearts. Lord, just fan the flames of our hearts, of our desires for the advancement of your great cause, the Great Commission, to make disciples, to feed the sheep, to care for the widows, to strengthen your church. And Lord, may our identity as a church grow more and more with the souls that are represented in that church, and less with the walls that we so easily are accustomed to identify with. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.